Thank you. All right, well, it's 7:01, so might as well get started. Just a quick reminder to everyone to turn off or silence your cell phones. And we'll call to order the April 17th meeting of the Design Review Board. And let's start with roll call, please.
Carolyn Adams. Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan. Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Reiser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Susan will be here. She called in. She's running about 10 minutes late.
Okay. And first item on today's agenda is approval of minutes. I don't know if the rest of the boards had a chance to look at these and if there's any changes or amendments anyone would like to make to these. Otherwise,
move approval.
Second.
All right. Have a motion to approve meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are approved. And at this time, I think if there's any audience members who'd like to discuss anything that's not on the agenda tonight, now's your chance to come up to the microphone. Okay. I guess first item we're dealing with today is a special presentation on email archiving.
So I will try and be fast because, thank you. I will try and be fast because this is not the exciting part of your evening and it's going to be really boring for the people in the audience. But as you know, you have, you all have city emails and so unfortunately we have to introduce you to some protocols related to those city emails, and so I wanted to go through this really quickly. We've done this implementation citywide, and now I'm working with all the boards and commissions to get you up to speed. So I will go through these pretty fast, and if you need me to slow down, just let me know, because like I said, it's not the business of the evening. But as a result of the way that we need to address public records requests when they come in, that is the main driver behind why you now have your city emails. And so what we've decided to do, I'm going to skip through these, is to provide some clarity on which emails as board members and commission members you need to keep and which ones you can delete. And in keeping those emails, how we would like you to be storing them in your city email folders that you'll get. So at the end of the week, just real quickly, some definitions. We're going to talk about transitory records, convenience copies, and secondary copies of your emails, and then also the business emails that you have. By the end of the week, it was supposed to be tomorrow, but my IT partner is out ill. IT will be deploying archive folders to your email, so when you open your Internet Outlook, you will see a parent folder called archive folder, and then when you open it up, you'll see the subject folders underneath it, and then in parentheses, you'll see the retention timelines that will be applied automatically to those folders. So what we're going to be asking you to do is to take the email that you have in your inboxes or in the folders you've already created on Outlook and to move those so that they're in some way categorized under these parent folders. And then any folders you add in there, those will automatically inherit the timeline rules that they're moved to. So if you have a DRB folder, you can just move that right up into the meetings folder. the city will take care of making sure that the retention timelines are on those are met and that our archiving requirements with the state are met. And I'll have a slide about the timeline for this. When we feel like you've had the time to move those folders, IT is going to be placing, auto retention rules on the inbox, the sent items folders, and the deleted item folders. And that won't be happening automatically, or immediately. But once those are applied, the email that comes into those inboxes is only going to be there for 90 days before it's automatically deleted. So it's going to be on you, the users, to take those emails when they come in and to move them into one of the folders if you want to keep them. Otherwise, they can just age out automatically, and that's fine. I'm going to skip all of these because that's more detail than you are going to want for this meeting. I have a handout that I left at your places. That's the little pamphlet, the big Outlook logo on it, right? And that goes into a better description about what all these folders are as sort of guidelines. Also, there's contact information for me and in the clerk's office. So if you have questions or concerns or issues with moving that email, please feel free to contact us and we're available to help. I can set up a time for you to come into City Hall like before one of these meetings. We can go through it on a laptop and log in on it with it through you, for you. So what we're hoping is that this 90-day retention will start applying as of June 1st. So that gives you about like 5 months for me to get all the boards and commissions trained and then for you to get any emails that you may have moved into those project folders. The things to think about as far as a lot of the email that you get, if you're one of the senders or one of the main recipients, that's what we want you to be keeping. And if it's information that's stored someplace else, if it's a copy of the packets, that's not something you need to keep. You don't need to worry about that. If it's just an informational email, you don't need to keep that as well. That's one of the things a lot of people ask us. So absolutely all the kind of spam sorts of emails that come through, feel free to delete them. We like that. And then just as a reminder with the public disclosure, when we have email and it gets requested and it meets those parameters of the request, we have to provide them. That's one of the reasons why we want to remind people to delete the stuff they don't need to keep. It keeps the city from having to go through hundreds or thousands of emails that are not really relevant but need to be reviewed, also it avoids the stuff that goes out that maybe didn't need to go out. Also, personal emails that come into your city email box or photos, if things like that, just remember if they're requested, even if you don't want them going out, we're going to release them because that's the way that works. And that's the other reason why we ask you to remember to use your city emails, is to keep that line between your personal email, your city emails really clear so that we're not having that crossover. Any questions? Yes.
Okay, I will embarrass myself because I know the rest of the board has had voiced similar things. I have had a heck of a time just getting in my email, and I would appreciate just being able to come in and
Outlook web access?
I'm sure I've screwed it up or something, but you know, then what happens is it becomes difficult to get into it, and then I stop and I just go online and get the information from the DRB site. So
okay,
I'm sure my inbox is huge.
Well, what I would suggest is why don't you contact the clerk's office and we'll find out a good time for you to come in with your laptop?
Okay.
Yes? Or we can figure out a way to make, you can use one of the computers here and we can log you in and see how that works. And I can also go through the folders in a little bit more detail. I'm happy to do that. I can also work around your schedules because I'm often here in the evenings.
Great.
Anything else?
Anya, if you could go back to the archive folder list.
Yeah.
Maybe we can simplify it a little bit.
The screenshot?
Yeah, that one. So the vast majority, if not all, emails that the DRB gets are from staff.
Yes.
And it's things like, hey, there's a meeting next week, or the packet's been posted, or here's some, maybe this one's a little different, here's some correspondence that, that we've received since the last meeting. We'll bring copies to the meeting. But it's always generated by staff. So for just that almost spam type stuff, if I'm a DRB member, is it better, like Jeremy told me there's a meeting on Monday night. Just let
so for the most part, that kind of email that it comes from Jeremy or it comes from Angela or somebody else, there's a meeting, we're meeting in Peter Kirk instead of the council chambers, whatever that might be. You can actually just leave that in your inbox to age out on its own after the 90 days. You won't have to worry about managing it anymore because that isn't anything we'd want you to keep. If you're receiving the kinds of things we'd want you to hang on to would be if you're getting some sort of direct contact from the public concerns directly about something that's on your agenda. I know most of that goes through, but that's sort of the nature of having a city email is people can contact you directly. So if they did, that's something we would want you to keep. And there is actually a category for public inquiries and complaints, and that would be a good place to put that. Or if, because it's only 90 days, if you're going to have something that's coming up, like there's a seminar coming up, or there's a thing that you wanted to remember, a reference, there are categories that will keep that stuff for a little bit longer. So there's a six-year category for reference, or if you want to keep it for maybe a year, maybe it's directions to something or someone's contact information, you don't want to keep it forever. That's why we've created an admin category for 1 year, longer than 90 days, but not forever. Most of these are getting deployed sort of automatically, all 11, we're calling them buckets, but most of them, most people are pretty much just using one or two, maybe four or five. I would be amazed if you used more than two. Anything else? Great. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. My next item, design response conference for Lennar Totem Lake.
I put copies in front of you of the items that were requested at the last design review board meeting. I won't go over them now because I think the applicant's going to tick them all off. So just a checklist maybe as you enter into your deliberation, something there's something for you to refer back to.
Okay. Good evening. I'm Brian Bellissimo with Encore Architects. Here with Lennar, presenting the Totem Lake Apartments. This is DRC conference number three. So we'll jump right into it. We kind of, your package has a lot of the front end things that were, you know, just in all of the packages. For the presentation purposes, we kind of moved some things to an appendix. So we'll kind of jump right in. So as Jeremy said, there were some direction from the last meeting, some thoughts, some recommendations. We've boiled them down into those same three categories just as a refresher. So as it relates to massing and articulation, we talked about studying the color options with more variation. There was a response that you supported the kind of idea of this gradient of various grays, warm and cool, but maybe that they were too close together. So we have explored that. We studied opportunities to reduce the scale specifically on the west building. Most of this updated presentation involves the west building, the quote, that L that faces Totem Lake, as for the most part, other than colors, the eastern building or the quote, slow speed side of the building, we were all pretty happy with the direction on that from a design standpoint. So, and then finally, varied parapet heights were a little bit too timid on the west, so we wanted to make sure that that accomplished the goal. For exterior elements, the study of the bay windows and the furring, the feeling that they were too busy in their previous composition, and then a reduction of scale for that black parapet band that ran around the top of the building. Scale of the corner and the balconies was supported, but Some of the proportions felt like they were a little bit off or a little bit too heavy, so we've looked at adjusting them. And then at the ground level, there was a desire to provide more detail for the paving plan, also more detail for the planting plan, and then continue to develop the art concept and its placement. So we have a kind of new series. This isn't in your packet. This is fresh off the presses, but we have a new series of Partee diagrams. We've all seen the kind of iteration from the buildable mass all the way to the two L's and the whole, overriding concept of these two buildings. And I think everybody was in support of that. So this one looks specifically at the west building. So this was kind of the a little bit more detailed massing from DRC number two. And our strategies to tackle this thing was to subtract, organize, and simplify, and really kind of clean that up and bring another, the next level of kind of fine-grained thought into this. So our first move was to look at this, where is the mass really reading as still this kind of larger scale building, and how can we break it down? And a lot of that had to do with the parapet and the roof plane and how all the various components were tied together in a way that they almost started to bleed together. So subtraction of mass, and you'll see as we get into some of the renderings, we look at that corner, those cornices where they start to show up from behind those panel elements, really thinning those up so they become more delicate. And in some cases, they go away completely. The balconies in the previous design were kind of more built in. They really connect. They were almost like a too heavy of a connecting tissue between these panels. So we felt that was a good opportunity to really kind of bring some more kind of delicate detailing in and make it feel a little bit more disconnected, reducing the mass. And then we've actually taken larger chunks out of the mass on that upper level where that amenity terrace was located. We felt like that was a kind of this special moment in the building, so it was kind of ripe for something new to happen. So, and then we there was discussions about, do we want to drop some of these gray panels down a little bit to reduce scale. We did look at that, and we've implemented that in some places where it felt right and there was purpose behind it. And then we've also looked at actually kind of reducing those panels in the vertical articulation, really peeling them back a little bit to reduce their size and their presence, which we feel is pretty successful so far. And then the bay windows, there was kind of this more compositional undulation and scattered effect that was present in the bay windows, and we studied that a lot. Right now, we'll jump into, let me look. Sorry, I thought that was the next slide. But so those bay windows, we've taken a new new look at those and really simplified them down to this kind of furring depth where we can allow the windows to read in a deeper plane, but without kind of introducing that kind of tertiary undulation that really was starting to kind of complicate things, we felt like. So this was the final massing, the resulting massing, which we'll see in some of the renderings. But so this is this sectional axonometric that we're familiar with from previous meetings, but this is kind of a diagram of the thought process, which you'll click through this thing. This is where we left off at the last meeting. We had that thicker band that kind of was the cap or the belt around the top that felt a little bit too heavy, so we started tackling that. The various heights in the gray panels, there were some that popped up and some that popped down. It felt like the 8 inches, the 10 inch, 12 inch undulation in that really wasn't reading, especially from the street level. The bay windows, again, kind of scattered all along this facade and facing various directions, needed some type of rule behind them or some type of thing to clean them up. So we started looking at this, what if we pull this panel down all the way and then this kind of cap read as a cornice all the way around. We felt like that didn't quite get at the, it didn't let us get our bang for our buck here at the where we're modulating the facade. It really kind of capped it all, which was going back to one of the original problems. So we said, well, what if that thing just thinned up, but it still started to be that continuous kind of cap along the building? You know, there were some things that we liked about this move from here to here. We moved this recess in the building over to give us a little bit more symmetry. And then we've also pulled this panel down and got, you know, more upper level modulation here where that wood tone product kind of wraps around and in. There was some study going on in this iteration at the corner. We already saw this one, but now we're starting to think about the idea of this, maybe this kind of trellis element at the top that becomes this connecting tissue. And now we're getting dialing in a little bit more. The next kind of thought process was, does this cornice element actually follow the undulation of the building? And that lets us create this container for that wood product that felt like it needed a terminus at the end and just want to kind of, you know, disappear into the sky, but have that kind of cap on it. In this move, we've also, if you look right here, that idea of pulling these planes back and revealing this kind of black frame, we start to think about that black cornice a little bit more becoming this frame that's being revealed behind the panel. So, you know, it starts to peek itself out right there with a row of kind of skinny windows as if it was pulled back like a curtain. Right here, it starts to reveal itself, and that cornice actually turns down at that modulation in the building. That's about a 2-foot recess. And then over here, it does the same thing, and that really creates a full break at that upper level where we've now incorporated really more of a bolt-on balcony. Bolt-on canopy. It could have a glass plane across the top of it, allowing light and air, but, you know, reading really kind of light and delicate. So this is where we landed at the end. We started to think about the bay windows a little bit, too. If I go back a little bit, you know, we have this kind of scattered effect. We started to study, you know, what if these things were full height? They all started to face the same direction. But we kind of felt like there was a lot of moves going on. Now that we've increased the reduction of mass here and really gotten some push and pull, do we really need these bay windows to or are they just adding mass for the purpose of creating some type of depth? So we felt like moving into this kind of cleaned it up. There's this rhythm that happens. There's this depth that happens in the window plane, but the subtraction and the undulation of the building is really kind of articulated in this exposure where we start to peel these things back in this location, and then you start to get that kind of third level. This is a photo of one of our previous projects, but the idea of just furring out around those windows to create that kind of 4-foot depth as an example to really give that facade not such of a flat look, but really, you know, it goes pretty far to add to create that sense of depth. So in summary, in response, the need for reduced scale along the facade, the center panel has reduced in height by one story that we talked, we kind of left off at the last meeting, kicking that idea around. It's allowed opportunity for increased facade depth by revealing a larger portion of this wood tone plane. And we're thinking about this thing as really kind of all these curtains that get peeled back in various segments. And kind of labeled here just for clarity on how thick things are. So this is about two and a half foot kind of cornice element that starts to show its way up. The parapet undulation between here and here is 16 inches. The furring depth is 4 inches. It gets kind of that effect, as I mentioned. And then this is a full 2-foot recess where we pop back into that wood plane and then actually back another 6 feet at that upper level terrace. So we thought this would be helpful to kind of revisit where we were and where we've come. This was from DRC meeting one. Obviously, we remember this one, kind of too heavy, too bold, a little bit too much relationship to what's happening there. We felt like these buildings needed to be different. So this was DRC number two. You know, we're trying out this completely new language, but yet some of this connecting tissue is a little bit too heavy. It's not reading as multiple masses. It's still reading as this big block. You know, this is a poked hole. There's kind of that big cap along the top. The bay windows were a little bit too busy. So when we click back and forth between these, you start to get a sense of where that all of this has happened. The variation in color is more exaggerated, so you're starting to read this as a build, you know, this is a form, and then this is a form, removing that bulk in between there, going with the kind of more delicate bolted on balconies. Over here, you start to read this as a separate building, you know, separate masses. And then really just kind of that clean, timeless simplification through this furring element, and where, you know, these kind of thin bays. So then looking at the corner rendering, again, this is where we were, the kind of extreme corners, heavy, you know, a little bit too heavy, a little bit too bold. We move into a little bit more delicate idea, but again, these kind of bay windows didn't have much rationale. This was heavy up here. And then moving into today's option, with kind of this more organization, clean look, we start to peel this back, peel that back, get a little bit of detail up there. And then in this rendering, you can start to see the concept of art, which we'll touch on, with these kind of sculptures that populate that corner, various scales. I have a separate slide for that. But so this is an image that we're familiar with seeing, is these two axons that kind of, you know, get everything in one image just for talking points. Nothing much has changed with this building, with this portion of the building, aside from some color variation. This is a view from the northeast corner, this along 128th. You know, retaining all the same elements, we, you know, really just haven't, we've focused on, you know, bringing this thing up to par, but over here, same elements, nothing's kind of snuck in there, but the canopies along the storefront, brick along here, this whole park idea along here. So that's a rendering of that same corner. And for some of you that weren't here at the DRC number 2, but we've, you know, started to study kind of, there was comments at the previous meetings about these kind of reading monolithically. So, you know, we were studying how these work to incorporate hardy reveals, but still accomplish that clean frame element. So floor plan wise, not many changes. These are kind of just for reference if we need to flip back to them, but parking still the same, unit count still the same, programmatically same as last time. There's some updates in the landscape, which we'll let Mark get into in a minute. The roof program really hasn't changed all that much. You can start to see where the roof is actually fully peeled back in this location at that terrace area. So, Mark, if you want to jump in.
Okay, this is the overall plan. I don't think much has really changed here. I know we had some comments about desire for a paving plan to show a little bit more detail in that regard. Again, this is pretty much a diagram that we had before. This gets into more of the detail of the paving. I know one of the comments on the paving was concern over a 12 by 12 score pattern, which, you know, in looking at it a little closer, we would tend to agree. What we're suggesting now is that 12 by 12 pattern might be a concrete tile, which I brought along a sample. Has very much kind of a stone feel. It's a product we've used before, very durable, but gives a little bit finer level of scale to allow you to achieve that 12 by 12 pattern. the tan color, the middle paving be there would be the cast in place 2x2 grid using a color Cadman color admix. It's kind of, these colors are hard to replicate on a monitor, but it's not quite as orangey as that, and a little bit more, you know, in the tannish brown scale. And then the larger pattern would be the 4x4 square of a more typical light broom finish type concrete. Also shown a detail of what that bench element might look like. Cast in place concrete with wood cladding. Rather than using kind of the typical Ipe, we've been working with a product from a company called Turnasol that uses North American hardwoods as opposed to Brazilian hardwoods, and basically bakes the wood, so pretty much takes all the moisture out of the cell structure of the wood, makes for a very hard Ipe-like wood-type product, but using North American wood. Age is similar. You know, it'll gray a bit. Won't gray quite as much as an Ipe, but I think over time, just as durable.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
So what type of North American wood?
Yeah. Got a sample here. You can feel how light it is without the moisture in it. This particular product is red oak. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. We're starting to use it more in site furniture. You can also get it in like the 2-foot by 2-foot roof deck type tiles or 2x4 tiles. We've been looking at black locust as well, but been a little bit tougher sourcing it in quantity.
So the water is baked out and something else infused in, or is it?
No. It kind of shrinks the wood by collapsing the structures by taking the moisture out.
But it's a hardwood, so it's a deciduous hardwood.
Yeah, that particular product is Northern Red Oak. It's pretty cool stuff. We're really trying to get away from the hardwoods. I mean, they can be FSC certified, but I mean, it's still coming from the same trees.
So the detail talks about sealing the wood prior to construction of the bench so it actually will absorb some sort of thing, or is it just surface?
No sealers, no stain. Much like an Ipe, you just let it age.
Okay.
The problem with sealers or stains in these types of product is once you commit to that process, you really have to do it every year.
Right. So this sample has no sealer or stain on it?
No. The baking of the product gives it kind of that richness of tone, but it will still fade. Our courtyards have not really changed much since you've seen them. Keep going.
So let me jump in and talk a little bit about the art. So public benefit wise, where we left off, we were focused kind of on this art piece. Previously we had proposed a couple different options for locations, but kind of took some of your responses to heart and are proposing this kind of more a larger array of art pieces. Obviously this is something that we previously discussed would need to go through some other community groups and work with the city on, you know, where exactly these get placed and what kind of other permitting would be involved. But in general, this kind of array of figurative sculptures that occupy the corner really kind of bring you around the corner from Totem Lake and into the neighborhood kind of in a welcoming way. There are various scales. Some of them would be these kind of larger ones with the red kind of quote faces on them, or the kinetic element, and then these smaller kind of non-kinetic or static elements would kind of spread along the corner, occupy some locations in the plaza and some actual landscape locations. So, you know, similar concept, Troy Pillow's not here right now to speak to it, but in general, the idea is evoking this kind of notion of gathering or of Totem Lake acting as this catalyst for a community gathering. The rotating abstract faces that will kind of engage the community. We talked about lighting. We would like to see, especially the ones that are in the landscape, you know, maybe integrate with some of the landscape lighting and have some downlights or from the building or uplights on them. You know, all kind of a working process, like I said, in hope that, you know, we would get in front of community culture, I forget what they were called. So overall, you know, I guess what we're looking for in this is kind of more discussion on it or approval of the of the overriding concept or the, but again, it'll keep being refined.
We also wanted to touch a bit on lighting. Right now, there is some pedestrian lighting, but it's only along 128th. There's currently three pedestrian pole-type fixtures. The Totem Lake neighborhood does have a designated pedestrian pole fixture. To your left there, you'll see example of that fixture daytime and night. The particular color for this area, I'm not sure if it's citywide or just Totem Lake. It's kind of a holly green, dark green type product. Manufacturer is Lumec, who was recently, I think, purchased by Philips. But nice, good-looking, durable fixture. Pole height's typically 10 to 12 feet. We have shown them on Totem Lake Boulevard as well as 128th. In filling some voids along 128th, and then with the assumption that they would be desired and or required along Totem Lake Boulevard. The typical desired spacing from the city is roughly 60 feet on center. We've typically found that ped poles are much better for pedestrian lighting than bollards. Challenge with bollards is you get kind of footpath level lighting, but you don't get safety level lighting. Safety level lighting for pedestrians is considered essentially face recognition. With pedestrian height poles, you get much better face recognition and better kind of area lighting of a public sidewalk. Not a lot of change in what we saw in the earlier diagrams here. We have included some planting plans or along with your packages, so you can kind of match the photos to the plants as they occur on the plans. The actual selection of ornamental grasses, detailed perennials, things like that would kind of occur later in our final documents, but we have indicated where perennials and ornamental grasses would occur on the project.
The planting plan was sent as a separate PDF just because of its large scale. It's not legible at that size. So I don't know, did that get circulated?
I haven't seen it. That's okay, actually what I was looking
for. Didn't look like it. We brought a large plot of it, actually, too. But
I didn't. Was it emailed? We posted it with the. We emailed and posted on Friday. So the large size of it is on the web.
Maybe.
You have a large plot that two copies in here just in case.
You just can't. You can't scale it down to the size for the packet.
Anybody wants to take a look at it?
You can keep going.
All right. So material-wise, not a lot of change on this front either. The largest change has to do with some of these with these gray tones, with the warm and cool grays, which we can see on the material bore, but we really kind of stretched that gradient out a little bit to get more variation. We are, you know, exploring some different options for that wood tone product. This one's actually called wood tone, but it brings a little bit more of a durability. There was some concern with the Resista being a new product and not knowing necessarily how it's going to wear. And then most of the project still retained the black windows with the black storefront. There's a couple moments where we introduced some white windows that I'll show you in a rendering kind of what the reasoning was. So elevation-wise, this is the north elevation of the building along 128th. This center portion where we had that kind of resting point in the language, it's kind of that comma between the two languages. That's where this kind of the white color that would match the frame elements shows up, and that portion has white windows. It's kind of just, you know, almost like I said, kind of a pause moment where there's very little happening. It's going to reflect a lot of natural light nicely for that north-facing courtyard. On the south, a similar thing has happened where this kind of white facade pushes back and allows that kind of gasket between the two languages. In these elevations, you can start to see where we've peeled those gray panels back to kind of reveal that black, quote, frame that hides behind them. And then the wood tone product showing up where that frame then is reduced. No changes to the east elevation, the west elevation being updated with all the same things that we discussed previously. This is an enlarged axonometric of the north, or the, quote, slow speed building of the north facade of that. No changes from before. There was, you know, support for this language, just some variation in the color. This is a rendering, that kind of dusk rendering of the main entry. Looking at that north courtyard, this is where you kind of can really understand where that kind of white facade, we want that kind of to disappear a little bit, maybe even blend in with the sky a little bit, and allow those two languages to kind of live together without touching. So there's a whole appendix in here. If you recall some previous images that we want to pull up just for discussion points, but we'll leave it here and open to any questions.
I know we're still passing around the material board, but do we have any questions off the bat from the board?
So that cedar product is, that is not, that's the?
Wood tone.
Wood tone.
Yeah, it's a actual.
So it's a hardy board.
It's a hardy that there's a, I guess, a proprietary process that they put it through that kind of stains the hardy in that way that carries like a 30-year warranty with it to retain that kind of level of vibrancy. So felt like a more durable, long-lasting.
Do you know, just off chance, is that the same product that's just on that condo down the street, right down here on 6th and...
I'm not sure, but I do know that this is on the Kirkland Urban project.
Okay.
That you guys have recently seen.
So the one that I'm referring to down there looks identical to this, but they did a very heavy, not heavy, but elongated Z-flash.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a real distinct coursing to it. Is that how, is this going to be in a, like a rain screen, or does it lap?
It laps, yeah. Laps.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, yeah, we don't want to have that kind of that aluminum at every gap.
And so the exposure ends up six-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the metal panels also that more of the ripple form instead of that corrugated form that we felt like was a little bit too industrial.
So this is different than what you showed us last week?
Yeah.
It's...
So is the color
just
different?
It's a different... Yeah, it's a different right. Profile, essentially. It's still just a, you know, folded aluminum panel. It's by AEP span, but... A little bit softer, less shipping container-like. And then, yeah, that kind of gray tone seemed to fit a little bit more than that kind of raw aluminum.
And just to be clear, the wood tone product doesn't come to ground anywhere. It looks like the base is pretty
No, it's masonry. All above ground, and yeah, that's purposeful. You know, when you get up too close to it, you can tell. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, from a story below or so, it felt like it brings some richness to it.
Okay. So this is the windows on the entire project?
Except for those two courtyard facades that are the kind of backdrop to the courtyard. Yeah. Where it's kind of this kind of white on white, kind of, we're going for kind of just a crisp kind of moment for your eye to rest between the two languages.
Okay. So what kind of material is going to be surrounding the window just to, in the back courtyard?
Oh, area. It's hardy. There's
so
not
it's
there's
already surrounding the window, so there's no vinyl window around the what is actually surrounding the window pane.
Yeah, there's no trim. It's just the hardy kind of comes into the dies into the window with a J like a J mold that would be painted to match.
Okay. So in the park area, is that synthetic turf? Around in that back area surrounding the walkway?
No.
Is it?
I don't think so. But over here?
Just, it looks like there's a strip surrounding, you know, the walkway. Is that?
No, it's no synthetic ground. The only synthetic turf we have at all for dog use is up on the roof. Yeah.
Are you responding to this over here?
Okay. So what is the is this straight lawn or
is it a mulch in the dog park over here?
What is right next to the walkway?
Right there.
Or on the other side.
Right there.
Right there?
Yeah.
We've been using more of like a crushed aggregate type product for dog areas. Tends to be like a lot easier to clean up, pick up. It doesn't have the downside of turf where you end up with dead turf.
On the plan. No, that's great. Yeah. And my concern in that area is that it's so dark.
Mm-hmm.
The usability in the winter months, if there is turf there,
it wouldn't do well.
It's not going to do well.
No.
So that's what I was trying to draw out.
And you exacerbate it with dogs. Yeah.
It's not meant to be fenced, though, correct? Because this is all public.
You mean to let the dogs roam or to be enclosed in it?
Right. It says dog park.
Our thought of that element is, you know, it's something that could certainly be used by the residents of the building, but also just people taking their dog for a walk along the pathway, as opposed to using the typical bordering landscape that there's actually a designated area with, you know, the little pet stop accessories they can use.
Can I ask for future administration, if you go back to the dog park area, and so it's labeled public, at some point you've got an interface with some units there. What's public and what's private? Can somebody walk right up to a window, or is there some delineation?
No, I think the designation is primarily the walkway. There is a landscape buffer between the pet area and the actual units. And, it would be planted such to discourage people from going through it. It wouldn't be opening and inviting in that area, but more denser shrub-type vegetation.
I just want to make clear when it comes building permits and easements and everything that we understand, we're on the same page about what is actually public and what's private.
Well, and then this is being used towards the public amenity that's contributing to
the pedestrian walkway.
Exactly.
But the pedestrian walkway doesn't bend and go west, it goes south. And that's what you're wondering is when you get to that, you have to make a left-hand turn.
Well, it's bending and going west also.
That's what I'm saying. So basically, when you get to the two benches or the L benches, the public needs to turn left. There's nothing there that keeps them from going straight west.
Well, my assumption is that the pathway around the perimeter is all public.
Yeah.
Just so we're on the same page here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the left-hand turn is for when the future connection is made to point south down to the mall.
Correct. Yeah.
In the meantime, there
wouldn't be any gates or anything. It would all be open to public.
Yeah. The idea is that this goes somewhere for now until this does get developed. You know, there's kind of creates this green loop experience.
So would it be fair to say that the brown area, the crushed, is public, the benches are public, and the pathway is public?
Mm-hmm.
So. I think that's a fair assessment.
Any other questions, or shall we just move on into deliberation? Any questions from the audience? No? All right. So do you want to start their thoughts and deliberation?
I'll say a few comments. I like the changes. They're subtle, but I think they're significant, and I think makes the West Building a success. The brow shrunk down is good. I hadn't really registered on it before, but the north-facing windows on the northwest corner were kind of odd, and I appreciate the fact that they're gone. The deck, I guess, is the same size, but the cutout is a little smaller. So I like that treatment better. I think the common area on the top floor is really nice, where the face is dropped down, and there's a lighter cover at the top of the deck. And it's fine. The bay windows were a puzzle before, and without them, we're doing fine.
For a cleaner look. Is anyone concerned about lack of depth or anything like that?
I'm not concerned, because the plans do show that 2-foot recess, you know, in the plane of that southwest corner right there. I mean, that's a full 2 feet back, and then the slight furring out on some of the windows, I think, is going to read enough. I do heartily applaud the lighter glass canopy, if you will, over the amenity space up there on top. I really think it does finally succeed in breaking up that mass without that, you know, continuous band that we've had in the previous conferences. So I like that a lot. And like Dave said, I applaud the reduction in the height of the black band up on top. Yeah.
I think the only thing that I would question is the big black canopy at the corner, the big black overhang at the corner, and I wonder if that corner shouldn't be treated more like the trellis element over the menu space with something lighter so that we don't have the big black frame coming out. Let that corner actually be cut away.
I agree. I wasn't going to mention it because I've mentioned it every single time. The view that we see of the one axle from the northeast, it just sticks way out there. I mean, to just see it.
See, even in their drawing here, it looks dark.
Yeah.
And I was actually, you know, if you look at it from their roof aspect, it almost, I thought, oh, they're maybe doing a cutaway because of the way it looks at the roof diagram looks
right.
At that.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a partner at the other corner, too, at the southwest. There's a smaller one that appears to be, that band's been held out instead of back of the room, the shadow behind. Is that correct?
Yeah.
You're talking about right here.
So it's meant, it's yeah. Sort of a spandrel piece that looks away.
I mean, even that view right there, if you look up the upper left corner of the building, there's this thing kind of hanging out there, and I don't know what purpose. I mean, objectively, it doesn't do any sun protection or, you know, weather protection. It's just a stylistic element. I think the building would succeed real well without it.
Can I ask a question, I guess, about this corner? So when we're looking at the most projected element here,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a step, I guess, of 4 inches back to the dark plane,
mm-hmm.
and then is it another 4-inch step back to the wood? Is that?
Yeah. So there's kind of this, kind of that idea of the curtain being pulled back. You know, you get these, you kind of read all three layers of the building right there, from the outer kind of shield to the black being kind of that organizing frame that everything's kind of held on, and then the wood being kind of what's inside that frame, or kind of the pulp of the orange type thing.
I mean, do you feel like the overhang is important to that?
Yeah, we did study it both ways, and it felt like this just being such a prominent corner that it needed something that kind of calls attention to it. I wish we had this old image, but it felt like it was like an innie. Like there should be something that holds that corner, even if it's just at the top, that kind of is that thing that you kind of recognize. Otherwise, it's just kind of like this eroded corner. So, I guess in our minds, it was playing towards that kind of gateway element. This being that gateway to the neighbor, to Totem Lake.
Well, I guess I feel like, you know, because that's sort of been left behind at the base of the building and moving up the building, that it's almost like a,
mm-hmm.
a vestige.
Why is it still there?
Mm-hmm.
So did you explore at all just having some kind of more translucent material so that some sunlight could come through?
No, we didn't. We honestly didn't really study the idea of like that kind of language coming over here. We could, but we didn't want it to feel kind of like
a skylight.
Yeah, a skylight or kind of like a bus canopy type thing, almost like a French metro stop type thing with the. You know, there could be a way to detail it in the, similar to this other corner, where, you know, maybe it peels back and lets light kind of peek through, and it becomes more of that kind of beam element. Not the whole thing, but you know, if there was a if there was like a slot that kind of like let you almost let light.
I think it's more about
could be that beam height. Of light coming down.
I think it's more about the height of the wall from the top of the. Doors there to the underside, and then still the depth of it. I think it's more about that proportion than whether it's open or closed for me. Anyway.
and I know I've mentioned before, but that these renderings have a sun that doesn't exist. I mean, you cannot get that shadow cast like that on that northeast or northwest corner of the building at that angle. So
it's going to cast a larger shadow this way, yeah, or over the
across
decks.
The street. And, yeah, you know, but. No, I think, you know, using that southwest corner as a guide, the various AXO drawings, it doesn't appear at all like it's an outie, too far outie. That one, even that one right there. It, you know, it's the black band that is over the deck below just a little bit, but it doesn't seem to be. And I think that corner still works just fine. It doesn't have to be, you know, a gateway there.
It's kind of this idea of that frame, you know, you can kind of start to see that black frame that kind of encapsulates everything.
But it goes in at the amenity, though.
Yeah.
The other, with the trellis roof.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Precedent there to have it wrapped behind.
Behind.
So to the south of the amenity glass roof, where the black frame is on top of the wood tone, right there, is that those are the black frame's out about 4 inches
mm-hmm.
from the.
Yeah.
So. Something similar could happen at the northwest corner or mimic the southwest, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the northwest corner, the southwest corner. You know, it's very similar
mm-hmm.
treatment, possibly.
I think it's because it's such an acute corner.
Acute, yeah.
It's acute.
It won't be
yeah.
as, it'll still be, you know.
It's not a 90 degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these
so
are all 90s back
out,
here.
Whereas this other one isn't.
Yeah, is it possible to bend the brow further back so it doesn't you get a 90 degree corner? You know what I mean? Doesn't stick out as far. Go to the right here and kink it
right there.
Yeah, and bend it and come across.
Yeah, yeah. I think that. Yeah, in that case, it would actually follow that kind of kink where the wood tone kind of
yeah.
pops out, and it would
yeah.
follow there and almost connect
yeah.
right there. Still provide some
right.
cover, but not be so pointy.
We dealt with the same issue with the corner of Kirkland Durbin. Almost want to just keep a catalog of all the different corner solutions we've had. Through. It seems like, you know, nothing satisfies all parties.
Other than that corner, I'm very satisfied with everything I see. I do still have a couple of questions on the artwork, if that's something we decide or if it still gets discussed. It looks like it's all now on private property, so does it still go through the...
Arts Commission.
Arts
yeah.
Commission.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
I think we'd want to consult with them. It's a very publicly visible
sure.
piece of art. And I'm not. Is it? Is the artist fully engaged? Is this an actual design or like how concept is it versus?
Definitely a concept. The artist is fully engaged. This
mm-hmm.
that's would be it. But we want a kind of bold consensus that we've got the right
okay.
idea here.
So do they want our feedback?
Sure.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually like the way it wraps around the building, and it isn't just a single piece or just three in front. I like the way it engages down the street on both
mm-hmm.
sides. And I like the fact that it's closer to the building now than out in the parking strips.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was successful.
Mm-hmm. and I like the notion of the kinetic, but like a lot of things here, if it gets rusty or moss or something in there on the shafts and the, you know, that it no longer is kinetic. I assume the kinetic is activated by wind or something. It's not mm-hmm. user activated, but if it becomes stationary, I think there's still interesting shapes that would still work, but you know, the quote kinetic sculpture over at the fire station on Market and there is never kinetic. It doesn't move. I mean, it's just frozen. So I guess that would be my wish, is that there actually would be something that you know, moves on it.
I agree with you, but I also feel like they could almost build that into it too. I mean, I think it's interesting that there's the flat forms and then there's the turned forms that change direction. So, but yeah, hopefully they can build it so that it.
Well, the diagrams here, we're seeing the red faces in plane with the frames, but hopefully they will twist and turn and. Okay.
Yeah, these heads could be stationarily turned one way or the other, but then the red inside is the kinetic okay. element. So even if it wasn't moving, there's still some movement mm-hmm. implied.
I like it. I like the way the wood tone panels were increased, and I echo. I like the top floor having the, you know, sunlight come through. I didn't like the bay windows, so I'm glad they're gone. The only concern I have, and I didn't hear anyone else say it's a concern, so I would hesitate to even bring it up. It just seems like here you have the decks. You have two huge flat panels now on either side of that main deck going down. That's my only concern. Is you have this large, huge frame here, and then you go on the other side of the building, and you have it, you know, both here and here. And I'm hoping that the furring out can, you know, read that differently, but you know, we have increased just a very large flat area. And as you move down the block, you know, you have this wood that I think definitely warms it and alleviates it. But you know, you look at this, and those are pretty large scale, flat, even with a little bit of furring. It's just because it is, you know, five stories. So that's my concern. But I didn't hear anyone else mention it.
Well, I think it's just we haven't been able to get them to pull in the facade of the building at all.
But it gets more, okay, I look at this. And not to busy the building up, but at least it just breaks it. It has more articulation. You know, we get into these tones that are so similar. I'm wondering if you're going to see the furring. So that's my concern. That's what I read from mm-hmm. it. So, but I really didn't hear anyone else bring it up.
Well, I noticed on this photo even. Thank you for switching to this slide. That they talked to, oh, look at this, you know, furring, or look at that depth, you can get some shadow. And I thought, yeah, but a lot of that contrast is also helped by the shadows from the overhangs, you know. And I thought, just throwing some of those overhangs on, just, you know, like this white tower, you know, just those two columns, you know, would help mm-hmm. add a bit of differentiation and break up. Doesn't even have to be all over, but that's what I was like, are we concerned about it being flat, you know? Because in the afternoon, that broadside is going to get hit straight on with sun, and you're not going to see much of a shadow profile in the afternoon, is my concern.
And I think looking at it at this angle, okay, so the south side of the building, you're coming up Totem Lake Boulevard. This presentation doesn't bother me because of the decks on this this side, the south side. But then you get over here to the west side, that's when it doesn't play as well for me because of the largeness of...
So the west more than the north?
Yes, because I think the north has more activity going on.
That big setback helps too.
Yes. Plus you are looking at a whole other building that plays completely different. And I just...
So is it true that on the inside of the west building that you have the 2-foot recess and the spandrel around to the inside of the court?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw a wrench in the hole, but that's the one thing, because I really appreciate it. Everything I wrote down tonight was how much better I thought it was.
The renderings, to my eye, sort of make it appear that, especially in the west building, the cool mass on the west, the, you know, A1, A2, and A3, I don't know if the renderings seem to over contrast them, if you will. When I look at them on the panel, even on this one, so that's, well, maybe I think maybe it's the
sunlight.
Book is wrong.
Yeah.
See, that's what I mean. I see that rendering there seems to show a really much brighter white as color one, and the south side is color 3, or is that color 2?
This is 3.
That's 3. So that's the biggest contrast we get there.
Mm-hmm.
At the northwest corner, isn't it also similar that we get 3 on the west and 1 on the north?
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
And I think, the renderings are a product of sunlight hitting it, or virtual sunlight.
But this is those are our colors, the Sherwin Williams colors we're using.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I'm wondering if that is still enough contrast. That it won't read as that, it'll read much closer to, you know.
Well, yeah. We'll be approaching white and black.
Yeah,
if we get more contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Close to.
The issues of color contrast.
So I do think that these panels that we're talking about here, this rhythm of the furring at each of these windows is really going to kind of break those up a lot. You know, oftentimes you just kind of see the window flush in there.
I don't mean to ask you this for probably the 10th time. How much is the furring? Can you just
four
point
inches
to them and how much depth are we going to be getting in these different areas?
So this is a 4-inch furring.
Okay.
And then this is a return of the wall. Then we're allowing like a 6-inch depth to read on that.
Okay.
And then this jumps back a full 2 feet from here to here.
It's got to get, I'm okay with those large, effectively you call them the flat panels on this side, because that elevation typically is going to be viewed from a much greater distance. There's very little pedestrian activity on the west side of Totem Lake Boulevard. I don't even know if there's a sidewalk there. I mean, from there it's into the pit of the 405 and then all the way across the other side. So I think these will read as much bigger elements. And I'm I'm assuming that coming up 405, when you see it, the south elevation just straight on, as it bends slightly, it'll be a different experience from a vehicle, because you will see, especially on the south side, the different colors. And the we still get the large, I don't even know what the dimension on them is, at that, that continued the white banding from the east building, and it came across and goes through each of the three separate sections between floors. Let's see, would be, is that four and, or on it, yeah, those, what are those reveals that were the larger reveals that just kind of come and wrap all the way around?
Yeah, those are just, they're larger party reveals.
And they're contrasting color.
Yeah, they're like a black.
Okay.
Kind of just to carry that center story idea through, right, but in kind of a different way.
So we'll still get, when it's cold gray three, we'll still get a contrast between those larger.
Yeah.
So that's contrast, that's one there, two in the middle, and three over here.
How wide?
I thought it was four.
The band is going to be that wide?
That's what I thought it was. Isn't it like four?
Yeah.
4+ inches.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As opposed to kind of your like half inch hardy reveal. Uh huh. We want those to kind of be like an overriding grid.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice detail. If those are 4 inches, though, then these all the 4-inch furrings in the renderings is more like 12. So I think it's to get them to read in the rendering.
The larger reveal. Yeah.
The 4-inch reveal.
Yeah.
It's a color, not a shadow definer.
At least the color isn't changing on the face. Inside corner to change it.
Well, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I did appreciate the presentation walking us through all the different, the depths and heights of everything, and especially flipping through what we started with. Yep. To what we arrived at. I think we can see with each iteration it got, substantially improved.
I like that it's quieter.
Yeah.
So the northwest corner, would the brow be better if it was 90 degrees and instead of the sharp? It would then mirror the decks below it.
I think it should follow the angle of the walls. It's kind of, if you start changing, the angle of just the overhang, it could look like a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm actually okay with it as it is. There's sort of nibbling it away entirely and having what the applicant calls a, too soft a corner. I'm fine with it. There's
okay, when we look up, what is the material on the bottom of it? What's the soffit?
It would be a wood. The wood match tone. That wood. Yeah, I kind of want that to read as like the inner volume.
Okay.
It's going to be a great project.
It's going to be what?
So it's going to be a great project.
Well, in that case, I'll entertain a motion. Are there any other major items that we'd like to see them come back with?
I don't see that. Is everyone okay with the paving plan?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I just think back to that, the wording of that corner, you know, and what's exactly required there. And if the artwork and the paving plan is enough to satisfy that requirement.
I think.
You mean the public benefit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you've got a combo package of public benefits that have been presented. It starts at the corner, but it really follows along the north facade with the wider sidewalks and wider plazas and benches. Mm-hmm. It goes down the east side is required already, but it's the dog park and the wider space. It's wrapping it around the south side, which isn't otherwise required. It's whatever you think is superior, if anything, along the west sidewalk along Tone Lake Boulevard, but maybe that's all.
I don't know. I think we also got the greenery along Tone Lake Boulevard that wasn't initially there. So to me, a benefit because it matches what is on the other side.
I think the arts package was enhanced since the last meeting.
Yeah, and I do think that the addition, like, art engagement along 128th is better than just having a bigger sculpture at the corner than, you know.
Mm-hmm. The only piece that I'm still a little curious about at the corner are those cubes. I don't know if they're meant to be sat on. If they are, they're just cold almost any time of the year. Or are they sort of directing traffic so you can't cut really close to the storefront where the fitness center is. If you have to sort of at least go around those first three, and I recognize this is not an exact, this is where they're going construction document, but in general, are they designed to be sat upon or are they more just directing traffic?
I don't know. I think if the art is in there, they could actually work with the art.
Mm-hmm.
And they could be sat on if people wanted to, or they could be looked at, and it provides a new texture in that corner, as opposed to just a straight, flat paving corner.
I think you can hit on it. It's more of an implied element that, like you say, might occasionally be used to sit on. It's something to get a three-dimensional element to organize space.
Okay.
It's a big plane of hardscape out there. Mm-hmm. Out to that intersection.
Well, plus, it adds a contemporary element, especially if you have art that, you know, is a little bit more forward, and I think that it actually could work really well with the art.
And all of that, all the paving we're talking about is, it's not pedestal on top of concrete natural. It's on ground. I mean, it's.
It'd be more than place.
More than place. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with the paper. So. Looking back at our list that was provided to us. Dark brown and the lighter panels, you know, were comments from last meeting that were addressed. We mentioned the bay windows and actually, you know, kind of removing it we thought was an improvement. Are we happy with the materials, everything, that wood tone? We're good with the hardy board?
I like the metal, the corrugated metal, way better than the shipping container. That was a great description of.
Yeah. Paving and art, and the planting plans. So is there anything else that we think needs to be addressed? Otherwise, I can hear motions to approve or continue.
I think the big thing is, do we want to approve with conditions at that corner thing? Or do we just say we'll approve it and it gets in? I'm of a mind to say I've pushed far and hard enough on everything else that I'm okay with just letting it go. Personally.
Anyone else have thoughts on it?
I think if it didn't show up when it was built, I wouldn't be unhappy. Wouldn't miss it.
But I don't think it's something we approve with conditions that it get addressed. Either we bring them back for another response conference or we say good to go. So.
Well, I think if we do want to continue, we would need to give them a strong direction of this is what we want. And I haven't heard a good consensus over what exactly would be an improvement.
I think the reduction in the height of it helps me somewhat. It's not such a heavy element at this point.
I think, too, if you can see the wood.
Yep.
I would have rather have seen something. I don't mind the band if I could see something lighter underneath. I think the wood will suffice. I would have rather have seen some daylight. But.
Yeah. I think it could be improved, but I don't have any great suggestions off the top of my head.
You ready for a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Move approval.
I'll second it.
We have a motion to approve the project. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Project is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Reports or anything else?
Yeah, thank you. Team effort.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all.
I will move for adjournment.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Meeting is adjourned.